Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK,
The Lutheran Inquisitor, examining pressing issues and their ramifications for the church today. The mission province in Finland is the topic of today's show with your host, Pastor John Ehlers.
Hello and welcome to the Lutheran Inquisitor. I'm your host, John Ehlers, pastor of Christ Lutheran Church in Orpington, Kent. I'd like to invite you to attend one of our worship services at 10:30 a.m. every Sunday morning. Pastor Krieger and I also serve the Kent Mission, which meets in Raynham, generally on the first Sunday of each month at 3 p.m. We also work with Redeemer Lutheran Church in Bush Fair in Harlow, Essex, and again, invite you to come along and join them. But if you don't live anywhere near those congregations, go to our website, lutheran.co.uk. Click on the directory to find the nearest Lutheran congregation to where you live. We would also like to thank you for your prayerful and your financial support of Lutheran Radio, for it is both of those things which enable us to carry on this mission, to reach out to the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And don't forget, we've got our new app, the Lutheran Radio app. You can find us at Google Play, the iStore, or the Windows Store. And we think it's absolutely wonderful, so go and have a listen. Today, we're very excited to welcome Pastor Esko Murto of the Mission Diocese of Finland. Pastor Murto serves as the senior pastor of St. Mark's Evangelical Lutheran Church in Helsinki, and he is also the secretary of the Consistory of the Mission Diocese of Finland. Pastor Murto, welcome to Lutheran Radio.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Can you give us a short history of Lutheranism in Finland and the influence it's had on your society?
Well, a canned version of history would go like quite early on, most of the Scandinavian countries received Reformation already in the early 1500s while things were still going on in Germany with Martin Luther and things. Some theologians from Scandinavian countries actually even were educated in Wittenberg during Luther's time, and they brought influences with them back to their home countries. Finland at the time was part of the Kingdom of Sweden, so what happened in Sweden pretty much went on in Finland as well. And the church in Finland and in Sweden was, you could say it was peacefully or mostly peacefully reformed into Lutheran faith. Of course, there was disputes, but there was none of the kind of violent struggle seen in Germany. So the Finnish and Swedish and other Scandinavian churches were reformed into Lutheran faith. And for many Lutherans, we don't really consider that to be a sort of a rupture in church history. So when you count how many years this congregation has been around or so, we tend to extend the history even beyond Reformation. So it's 800 and something years we've been around. And in the Nordic countries especially, Lutheran Church has been a state church, which means that the whole society was bound by the law to adhere to Lutheran confessions. Of course, you can argue whether every single person or uneducated layperson really understood all that, or even if it was just lip service for most. You can never know. But the Lutheran Church left a very strong influence in the whole way of life and culture in these countries. And even today, with all the secularism and all that, still the churches in these countries hold a very big position in society. In Finland, 4 million people belong to the Lutheran Church. You could say that their membership is in some sense nominal, since they don't necessarily take part in congregational activities, go to church or so, but they still consider themselves to be Lutheran, at least to some degree. There are actually more people in Finland who consider themselves to be Lutheran than those who consider themselves to be Christian. I don't know if that's a good or bad thing.
You mentioned the influence Lutheranism has had on society, but also the secularization that's taking place in your society. But even today, you say the church still holds an important part in people's lives. How is that reflected in society, and how do people view the church today in Finland?
Even though people might not necessarily regularly visit church services, in big events in their lives, the church usually is somehow present. Majority of the babies are still being baptized. I think 90% or so of young people go through this confirmation school. It's sort of a young teenage culture thing to go on a summer camp. When people get married, they usually get married in a church, and especially in funerals, that takes place in the church. So the Lutheran Church has a very big role still in these kind of events, but also that's kind of diminishing. It's going down, but it's still very much there. And also, I would imagine that in if there is a national crisis or something like a catastrophe or something like that, the reporters usually go to the Lutheran Church to ask some pastor or bishop for their opinion.
You mentioned bishop. So you have a very episcopal structure of the church?
Yes, traditionally, Swedish and Finnish Lutherans have retained the office of bishop in the Lutheran Church, yes.
And how do people view the church today?
Well, it depends quite a lot about where and who you're asking. An elderly person in the rural area might see the church as a sort of a sign of stability, tradition, sort of a place where you can rely on. Whereas if you talk to a young 20-something art student in Helsinki, the capital, they would view the church in a very different way, perhaps as a sort of a too conservative, too out of time kind of institution, which has very little meaning to them. But also you have to understand that church has many faces as well. If you have an institution which has 4 million members and hundreds of pastors and congregations, you can't really say that this church is just something. It's a lot of things. It's a lot of things. And in other parts of the country, it displays other sides of it.
You are the secretary of the consistory of the Mission Diocese in Finland. As I understand it, the Mission Diocese started out life as the Mission Province of Finland. Can you tell us how that developed, what it means, and how it fits into the church life in Finland?
Yes, Scandinavian church history can be really confusing with all these ecclesial movements. The history of our diocese would go back to various confessional Lutheran movements, revival movements within the larger church in Finland. Again, if you have a very large state church, inside that church, there are a lot of different kinds of Lutherans, some more liberal, some more conservative, some who want to stick to the Lutheran confessions more than the others. And our diocese kind of comes from this background of believers who valued Lutheran heritage and the Word of God very much and tried to uphold those truths in the increasingly liberal church. That's one background. The other you already mentioned is the Mission Province. And Sweden has faced a lot of the same problems Finland too in churchly matters. In some sense, they are even worse in Sweden. And in Sweden, they established Mission Province to be a sort of a gathering place for those Lutherans who wanted to serve God with clear conscience without making compromises. And well, Sweden started that, or Swedes started that. And for a while, we in Finland sort of, we partnered with them so that we were working together under the same organization. But as it's natural that at some point you want to start becoming more independent in these matters, So we saw it fit to establish Mission Diocese in Finland. It's a sort of a equivalent of Mission Province in Sweden.
And when did that take shape?
2013.
You mentioned the mission aspect of your work and that it is a real important thing for you. Can you tell us about some of the mission work that has happened throughout the history of the Mission Diocese, where it has happened, and why you do it?
For us, mission is not restricted only to what you often consider mission work or missionary work, to go abroad into other nations and preach gospel there. Because we see that currently our own countries and our own peoples are turning away from God, or to a large extent have already done so. So we see that the mission field is opening right there on our doorstep. It's like we live in a mission field already with so many people who are, well, they might be baptized, but they don't really know Jesus Christ. So we see our role, at least in this situation, to be mostly gathering those lost sheep of Israel, if you want to use that biblical term, gathering people who are lacking a congregation currently and would like to find one, but they can't. And of course, also, while we're doing that, we're also reaching out to those people who don't know Jesus yet.
You talked about your place within the broader church in Finland, where you take a more confessional stand. What exactly are the principles upon which the Mission Diocese of Finland have been founded?
Well, it has been founded on principles, of course, of Word of God, and that rightly confessed in the Lutheran confessions. But this also, this isn't saying the whole story. In the established church, there's been very sad developments of falling away from Lutheran confession and the biblical truth. In many areas, you can't really just pinpoint it into one or two things, and it wouldn't be right to do so. But if you want to name some of the most concrete things, women's ordination is one, with female pastors in the state church. If you don't accept that, this becomes a major issue for you, especially if you happen to live in a smaller congregation where there is only one or two or three pastors, and then one of those or all of them are pastors you can't really rely on, and you don't consider themselves to be rightly called. So that creates a very concrete problem for confessional Lutherans in the church. So that's one very definite thing inspired our forming.
Can you tell us a little bit about the structure of the church? How many congregations do you have, and how many members?
Well, just to make it clear, the work didn't start in 2013. It started already in 1999. But we formed the current structure, Mission Diocese, now in 2013. We currently have, I don't actually have the right, the updated number, it goes up all the time, but we have about 30 congregations and maybe 30 or 35 pastors. Not all of them are fully employed. Some of them are part-time, some of them are bivocational pastors, but we have around that number of congregations and pastors. And of course, there's also new places opening up.
And again, your structure is also episcopal.
Yes, it's like we've had bad experience with bishops, but it's not the office of the bishop which is faulted, but the those who exercise it.
You mentioned bad experiences. And actually, the Mission Province of Finland has been making the news a lot lately, as you've been having some of your pastors defrocked by the state church. Can you give us an update on what's going on there?
Well, after forming the Mission Diocese 2 years ago, we had our own bishop, of course, Risto Soramies, and those pastors who are serving our congregations sort of consider him to be their pastor, and rightly so. And this has raised the question of how can you be loyal to this bishop while at the same time you are on the roster in the state church, and the bishops in the state church have started to investigate these pastors and defrocked some of them, and are defrocking as we currently speak five of them.
Can you tell us about your ties with the Mission Province in Sweden and your relationship with other Nordic church bodies as well as other Lutherans around the world?
There is no organizational unity at this point, and I don't think if we're even trying to go that way. But there's a lot of personal contact. We visit each other. We try to keep each other updated about current affairs. Our bishops meet regularly to discuss about situations in their churches. So there is that kind of interaction. Especially with Sweden and the Swedish Mission Province, we share so much of the history. I was actually ordained in the Swedish Mission Province in 2007 when we didn't really have a bishop of our own in Finland. So we, our congregation sent their representatives and their candidates into Sweden, and we were ordained there together with the Swedes. But there's a lot of interaction, that kind of trying to, because we are struggling with similar things, the societies and the church situations, even despite some differences in Scandinavian countries, they are very similar. So when one says something, the others kind of understand what you're talking about.
How are your pastors trained, and how do you go about placing them in the parishes, and how can parishes actually join the mission diocese?
Most of our pastors, if not all, are trained in the state universities. We have a large theological faculty in Helsinki and some minor faculties in other cities. The education in the universities, you wouldn't call it bad, but it's lacking. It doesn't provide everything you need to start working as a parish pastor. It's often quite theoretical. So we try to supplement that with our own education given in the diocese. It's not much, but it's something. And we also encourage students and also pastors to study more. And that's one thing I'm very happy about, is that our collegium of pastors, our clergy, are very eager to learn some more. Even after their ordination and after they started working already in the congregation, they continue to study and continue to learn because they see that as valuable. Theology is valued in our congregations.
The official diocese is quite young. What are the potential difficulties that you face? And what are your struggles at the moment? What do you see as your real opportunities and the possibilities that God has waiting for this church?
I think challenges or difficulties, they are many. One of them is simply that the resources are not that plenty. We have a lot of dedicated people, but also there's a lot of work to do, and one challenge is to sort of sustain our momentum, so to say, that you don't burn yourself out, you don't lose your interest or hope. It's easy to go quickly for 1 or 2 or 3 or 5 years, but to keep going year after year without it becoming too much to bear, that's one challenge a young church has to go through. Another one would be how to maintain a balance between being confessionally clear and sort of making it clear what we are really standing for and what we are rejecting, and at the same time be open to those people who might want to come from the liberal church because of its problems into our church, but aren't necessarily hardcore confessional Lutherans. That's one thing. It's like not all the people who come in on Sunday morning come there because they have this very strong theological dogmatic convictions they want to support. Oftentimes they come because this is a community where they know people, they share life together with these people. They have friends there, they like the sermons, they like the way gospel is preached there, that kind of things. They like the hymns, they like the liturgy. And how do you maintain both sides? That's a challenge, but I'm not saying it's a problem, it's just something you have to keep in mind.
With all the events that are taking place, how are you being received by the public?
Again, it depends on who you're asking. The media coverage has been mostly shallow and negative, I would say. But some say that there is no such thing as bad publicity. I don't know about that, but at least it means that among Christians, we are quite well known. More well known than you'd expect, considering our size. I guess the idea would be that we are considered sometimes very conservative, very strict, but also maybe honest, I would say. And Finns value honesty and sort of integrity quite a bit. Even though you might not agree with us, at least they value the fact that you're not beating around the bush, so to say. You're not playing with two cards.
So even if they disagree with your stance on the ordination of women, they admire your honesty about what the Bible and the Lutheran confessions have to say about this issue?
Yeah, and I would say an average man on the street, if they had some complaint about the mainline churches, the liberal state church, one of the complaints would probably be that you can never really tell what their opinion is, because when they drag some bishop in front of a TV camera, he's squirming over there and trying to put his words so that no one actually understands what he's saying. At least with us, they don't have to guess. They know what we're saying.
Earlier, you said you were really encouraged by the interest and the role of the youth in your church body. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
My congregation has been there for 15 years now. So we're in a situation where those children who were born when we started are now in their teenage years. And that's actually quite wonderful to see that there are these teenagers who have been growing up in this congregation for the whole duration. And a lot of these teenagers are sort of like, during the one last year or two, they've become more active in church life and also sort of finding each other from different congregations coming together. And it's a wonderful thing that no one has really told them to do so. I mean, there's been encouragement and we'll try to provide context for that and possibilities, but it's something that the young people are doing themselves, and they're organizing themselves. They're keeping in contact with each other. They're trying to plan their camps and that sort of things. And that's vital, I think, for the future. Not only that these young people have something nice to do, but that they actually grow into taking responsibility. And when they are no longer teenagers, but they become adults and they take their place in the congregational leadership positions, they have experience about taking responsibility and organizing things.
Are there other activities than church camp to promote the growth and communion among your members on a national level?
On a national level, not so much maybe. We do have like few national events, especially for young or children, but really we focus more on the congregational level. That there's always this tradition some people carry with them that there are these big gatherings and you go there and that's where you have all the great and nice things, and then you just go back to your ordinary boring life. Well, I don't have anything against big celebrations and big gatherings and conferences as such. They are great, but what we really want to focus on is the week-to-week, day-to-day life in the congregations, which is going on all year.
Is there anything else you'd like to mention about the Mission Diocese of Finland?
Often when you talk about ecclesial matters, you tend to talk about bishops and pastors and theologians. But one thing I've been wondering and humbled by and thankful for in my own congregation and in other congregations is the active laity, the way members in our congregations take their responsibility seriously, not only in finances but also in supporting their pastor mentally, spiritually, socially, taking volunteer work in the congregation, witnessing about Christ to their fellow members. And for example, the way we grow our congregations, it's not usually that the pastor goes out with a sign saying that please come to church, but that the members in our congregation talk to their own relatives and friends and neighbors, and that way bring more people into the church. Oftentimes we are being accused of being sort of clerical because we have this bishop's office and pastors and all that. But really, when you work in a congregation, you understand that none of this could happen without all these devoted lay people. I once counted in a service I was holding in St. Mark's. I was the only pastor there, so there was one ordained pastor, and more than 12 lay members who were doing, one was playing organ and two were doing Sunday school for kids and a couple were doing the altar guild thing and some were making coffee. So it's really the whole congregation who works.
Do you have a website in case people would like to find out more about the Mission Diocese of Finland?
Yes, we do have a website. It's www.lhpkf.fi.
Thank you, Pastor Murto, for being with us today. We do pray God's richest blessings upon you and upon all of our brothers and sisters in Christ in the Mission Diocese in Finland.
Thank you very much. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Lutheran Inquisitor with Pastor John Ehlers. If you have any questions or comments about the issues raised in this program, send an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. The podcast of this show is available from our website. Check our program online and stay tuned.